Welcome to Talking Trash, our waste reduction podcast, brought to you by the City of Spokane Solid Waste Department. Okay, hello, I'm Gina Clays, your podcast host. I am the Recycling Outreach Assistant for the City of Spokane, and our second episode profiles an individual who has been conscious about living sustainably since a young age. Jim Schrock is a fifth-generation Eastern Washington resident who opened Earthworks Recycling in 1980, which was 10 years before curbside recycling started in Spokane. He also started Urban Eden Farm in 2003. He is an important member of our community who helps lead by example about how to tread lightly on the earth. Recycle what you can, salvage and reuse what you can, and grow as much as you can yourself. He personifies a low resource consumption lifestyle and living off what you can produce locally as much as possible. And I came to know of Jim through my work here with the city, as he is one of our master composter and recycler alumni. And I also owned a CSA share with Urban Eden Farm several years ago. Thank you for joining us today, Jim.
Sure. Glad to be here.
Yeah. So give us a bit of background. When did you first become aware of sustainable living principles like recycling and salvaging reusable materials and growing your own food?
Well, I grew up on a farm 100 miles west of here, south of Grand Coulee. And I had a science teacher that really liked Mother Earth news. And so that's where I kind of got started. And then being a Boy Scout, you're always outside and building things and tromping around in the wilderness. And so that's probably where it started. We also, you know what, on the way to the farm every day, we'd stop at the dump and see what we could find there.
Yeah. So you kind of got in the habit of going by the dump and pulling out anything that you could use and salvaging it that way, right?
Right. And we probably saved a few things we probably couldn't use either.
Oh, right. Yeah. And you mentioned that that another thing you did was selling newspapers to people.
Well, right. That's how I got my start, is probably about 1973. I'd seen that different groups in the country. Let's see, what am I trying to say here? Like our the scout troop in the next town over, they saved newspapers. And I thought, well, I could do that. I could go door to door in my little town and pick up newspapers. And that's how I got started collecting newspapers.
Okay. And has your family been influential in your philosophy towards sustainable living?
Certainly, yes. Summer when I was, criminy, how old was I? Probably about 10, 12 years old. They got permission to tear down an old building down at Grand Coulee Dam. And so, and they were going to make pig pens out of them, or pig houses out of the wood. And my job was to pound the nails out and then pull them out so the boards would be salvageable. And that was a very memorable summer. We had a lot less work on the farm, and we'd go down to Grand Coulee every couple days and work on that, tearing that building down.
Uh-huh. And you mentioned that on the farm that you grew up on, that you're family would also try to salvage whatever you could and reuse it on the farm.
Right. Well, you know, the old adage about baling wire. We were baling wire people, that was for sure. And we even used the pole combines where the Caterpillar tractor would pull them. And they had a graveyard of combines so that they could keep one or two or three running. It took probably about six dead ones. And they just keep using the least worn out parts to replace the broken parts till finally everything was worn out.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. And so it sounds like Earthworks might have gotten some of its roots in your upbringing. How exactly did Earthworks get started?
Well, I moved to Spokane. I was supposed to be going to college, and I thought, you know what? If I get this many newspapers from a town with 150 people, how many newspapers am I going to get from a town with 150,000 people, which was probably about the population of Spokane then? And so I started picking up in the fall of 1977, going, I'd run ads and knock on doors and get about 30 pounds of paper from each house, and I had routes. And by the time we kind of quit that in about 1982, I was going to 2,000 houses a month picking up newspapers all over the city and the valley.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody, I decided though I was going to start charging to pick up newspapers, and I was going to charge $2 a year to pick up your newspapers, once a month service, and everyone quit.
Yeah, that was a little bit out of the budget, huh?
right.
So kind of the foundation of Earthworks was you wanted a place where you could buy aluminum cans and sell them?
That was, yes, that was the main motivation for that.
Mm-hmm.
And then everything we've done since then, we've added one thing at a time over the years. Mm-hmm. Just keep evolving.
Yeah. So it sounds like Earthworks fills a nice niche in the recycling world, and it allows people to recycle, reuse, and reduce, and just practice all those principles. And could you just walk us through some of the how Earthworks operates, like what kinds of things you accept, what you sell, and what kind of services you provide?
Well, as well as the recycling center, we have what we call the junk store, JUNXTORE. And we sell the best of the recycling center. We sell a lot of barrels. We probably sold 1,000 barrels this year to people, since everyone's home more. They're using them for storing gasoline, water, dock floats, whatever you can do with a barrel, rain barrel capture. People are doing it.
Yeah.
We also, recycle pallets. We buy and sell certain pallets. Everything that gets shipped to Spokane probably comes on a pallet. Mm-hmm. And then somebody else makes something in Spokane or distributes it out of Spokane, and it goes out on a pallet. We do thousands of pallets every month.
Yeah, that's great.
And go ahead.
Oh yeah. Could you describe a little bit more about some of the things you you buy and sell? And
sure. One thing we do too is a lot of office pickups, and we'll go to an office and pick up their cardboard, their electronics, their office paper, break room recyclables. And we've got two routes that we do all over town, much like the routes I used to do door to door.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you mentioned you do Freon removal from air conditioners and freezers.
Right. We got a couple of guys that got EPA certified, and we bought the equipment to extract the Freon. And that's grown into its own thing already, where I've got a couple people doing it a couple days a week. And we do that on our pickups. We'll pick up air conditioners and refrigerators and freezers.
Yeah, that's great.
That's something we didn't do 10 years ago. We would just have to keep evolving.
Yeah, you kind of just modify what you do based on what the demand is, right?
Right. I'm always listening to what people are asking me. The next good thing would be to recycle concrete. There's places that do that, but I get a lot of calls about it.
Oh, right.
Folks, we don't do concrete here. Sorry.
Oh, maybe someday.
That's right.
But it sounds like you're keeping a lot out of the waste stream that would otherwise perhaps be dropped off at the waste to energy. So that's great.
Right. And we do a lot of like our pickup service. We'll go into your office on the fifth floor of your building. You know, we'll do about anything as long as someone's willing to pay for it, you know, if they have the need.
Yeah, that's great. And then switching gears over to Urban Eden Farm, how did that come about? And sort of what has been your approach to running Urban Eden Farm?
Well, I've got a friend that runs Urban Eden Farm, Tarawin, and she runs a crew down there, and we do we sell it a farmer's market, the one at down at Fifth and Brown. We've tried some of the other ones, and then this year we're doing a farm stand on the farm on Saturday mornings. I think we're just about done for the season as we're speaking right now. We got one more sale. And then we do something that's called a CSA. You mentioned, yeah, you were a member, where people come and pick up a weekly box of vegetables. They pay at the start of the year when we're out of money from a long winter. And that gives us money to pay the crews to prepare the soil and plant the seed and buy the seed and get the tractor yearly serviced, and then that entitles them to that weekly box of vegetables for about 18 or 20 weeks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's pretty amazing. I've gotten that before, and it's quite a treat to be able to pick that up each week. And there's some unusual vegetables and things like that in there too that I had never had before.
Yeah, I think we try to have a lot of the standards, but you know, throw in a little twist here and there, so it stretches you a little bit to try new things. Mm-hmm. On my own level, I'm trying to try new herbs and spices more diligently, so that I can widen my palate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember the garlic scapes. That was something that I hadn't tried before.
Right. Next year, we're going to try. Have you had green garlic before also?
I don't think so.
That's where you take the young, immature garlic. You plant all the little cloves that are too small to make a big head. And then in the spring, they come up, and you can, before they've turned into cloves in that, you chop up the tops and the bottom and use them sort of like a green onion.
Mm, okay.
Yeah, we're going to try that with leeks, I hope, this year.
Okay.
A little milder than garlic or onions.
Mm-hmm. And you were kind of mentioning to me a little bit about how the farm came into fruition and just some of your sustainable agriculture approaches. If you could go into a little bit more about that.
Well, there again, the Mother Earth News influence, and I just want to try to grow things without herbicides and pesticides. My family has a conventional farm, and they weren't afraid to use chemicals in that, and because you know they were told that it was okay, and you know all your neighbors are doing it, you're doing it, everybody seems fine, and then you know. Towards when people start turning about to 70 or 80, maybe some few problems start showing up.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was kind of my influence there. And we make a lot of compost. We probably make 100 tons of compost a year.
Wow.
From we pick up brewery grain and we get leaves. Mm-hmm. We get some waste from a pot farm. And there's just, yeah, we get some grass clippings from some landscapers that we trust not to spray.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're trying more cover crops, and we only buy organic or non-treated seed.
Mm-hmm. And you mentioned that you've gotten the marmots under control.
Well, yeah, this year we tried something new where we let a few people walk their dogs along certain areas to keep the marmots on high alert.
Yeah. And so in case you're not familiar with Urban Eden Farm, it's about 40 acres, and it's down in Vinegar Flats off of Inland Empire Way. And It's sort of part of the South Spokane Farm Corridor, and it's a beautiful little area if you get a chance to go down there and visit.
Yeah, down in Vinegar Flats. We probably have about 18 or 20 acres that we can produce food on. The rest is like Latah Creek and Crystal Springs, and then we've got a few houses and an apartment building on there where some of our workers can live on the farm, or farm-friendly people can rent from us also.
Ah, yes. And I was wondering what kind of challenges you face, both with Earthworks and Urban Eden Farm, and if you're able to combine the two at all.
Well, labor's always a hard one. The farm, a lot of people want to give the farm a try, and we have a volunteer program, which works out great, or where people trade a little bit of work for one of the CSA shares. And that's quite helpful, but it's hard to find people, yeah, that can come down there and put in a good day of bending over, pulling weeds. I mean, even that's a hard one for me. I got to go in the shade once in a while. Mm-hmm. I try to have a lot of synchronicity between Earthworks and the junk store and the farm. We've used a lot of things and on the farm that we've got in at the recycling center, like equipment that's on wheels, like tables, racks, shelves, or we've used a lot of sinks that we've used. We built a fence that was about, it's probably about not quite a half a mile altogether, but it's all built out of recycled chain link. It's like a Frankenstein fence, but it's chicken wire and used posts, and it works okay, but the deer, they're always looking for a hole in the fence.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you mentioned like using the trucks from Earthworks to haul things at the farm, and
right. We use sometimes we'll when we're on our recycling routes, we might put a cooler or two in the truck to deliver to a restaurant or to a co-op we belong to. We use our big roll-off truck to haul horse manure once in a while, or leaves. So it works out pretty well that way. If something, you know, if our drivers are slow, they can haul a fertilizer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then another one of the challenges you mentioned, you know, just it can be management intensive. And, you know, one solution that you mentioned was that you have a volunteer program at the farm, which sounds like that's a good way to get more help.
Right. Yeah. And volunteers are looking, you know, you're looking for something different than if you're working there. You want to go down and have some little stimulating conversation while you're pulling weeds and maybe a little more instruction. You know, you've got some questions you want answered while you're working away, and you don't want to, you know, you don't want to work in quite the same way as if you were getting paid for it. So it's, yeah, a little bit different style of managing people that isn't quite so intense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I'm just curious, I know that recycling markets have changed a lot over the years, especially since 2018. And I was wondering how that has affected business at Earthworks, and perhaps it's affected the pandemic and everything has affected the recycling market and the Urban Eden Farm as well.
Well, it's very positive. Well, it's positive on the farm side, because everyone's wanting to kind of lock in a close source of food. And so we could have sold a lot more nursery plants this year. Our CSA was bigger than it ever was before, and it sold out quicker. In our farm stand, we've done a lot more business there. And this is our second year on the farm stand, and we did a lot better than last year. But on the recycling center, it's, yeah, with the markets down, it's we've started charging for a few things that we used to take for free, like microwaves and dishwashers, TVs, and that, because everyone is like digging into their basements and garages, and just everyone's cleaning up because they're home so much. Mm-hmm. And then there was a lot less business for a while, say for all the electricians and plumbers and all that to do, because everyone was, you know, you're staying at home, you're not having other people come in to do work. So the metals have slowed down. And then like aluminum cans are 20 cents a pound, and that's lower than they've been practically the whole 40 years I was in business.
Oh, yeah.
But people are still, they got a good habit of saving them and get a little bit of gas money there.
Mm-hmm. And you said that the recycling market change that was about 2 years ago with China soared, how China stopped accepting a lot of recyclables. You said that that affected paper markets the most.
Right. It needed to be sorted a little better. They wanted to basically have a cleaner product coming into China. It was the main brunt of that. They didn't want to take all our basically garbage mixed in with the paper, which of course, like MRFs, which are like a curbside program, would deliver their product there, and where you're mixing glass and plastic and tin, and stuff gets broken, stuff gets mixed up, so it makes a lower grade product. Mm-hmm. And maybe hasn't given us the best reputation of for recyclables that we're producing on mm-hmm. on that level.
Yeah. Yeah, I know there's been a lot of effort to clean up some of the work that we've been doing this summer has been to clean up the curbside recycling. But
right, you had people going around actually knocking on doors, didn't you?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, for the cart deck, we just had people checking the recycling carts. But yeah, we didn't want to do, you know, we didn't want to do anything knocking on doors during the pandemic.
Oh, you know? Right. So you were just checking bins then?
Yeah, and just giving mm-hmm. putting a tag on if there was any kind of contamination in there. But I would imagine at a recycling store like Earthworks, you don't have to worry so much about people just trying to recycle garbage.
Well, actually, yeah, we do have to keep an eye on some people. It's called wish recycling, where they think mm-hmm. it's got a recycling symbol on it that it's recycling. Or yeah. If you recycle one thing, well, this is similar. That must go together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a lot of that.
But our store, yeah, with our store, we were able to take maybe a wider variety of things. And we'll tell people, they'll say, hey, can I leave this old window frame with glass? And folks, don't bring in your window frames with glasses. But if it's like a vintage type, we'll say, yeah, we'll take it. And it might end up in the trash, but we'll try to get rid of it. Mm-hmm. So we could take somebody called me about vinyl window blinds. You know, there's not much on them to recycle, but we'll take them and take a chance maybe.
Mm-hmm. So it sounds like with your store, it sounds like one benefit of that is if, you know, you're moving and you have a ton of cardboard boxes or something, then you can just bring it into Earthworks instead, because that would just, you know, that would take forever to recycle all that in curbside. So
right. And that's exactly the situation we see a lot. Yes. And we do sell a lot of boxes. We haven't sold a lot of moving boxes the last few months, but typically, yeah, we'd sell hundreds of boxes a month, and we could sell them for a lot less than new, because there's we don't have to pay a lot for them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you mentioned there's a place that makes pizza, and they use the bark from the wood that goes into the pizza oven.
They take the bark off of the wood. Yes. And they put it into barrels, and we pick that up, and then we put that with the wood recycling we do, which is like the old old scrap pallets and lumber cutoffs, or somebody will tear down a fence and we put it in with that. And whereas before it would have just went in the trash.
Mm-hmm. And so now you're saying that you started off not taking pallets, but then now recycling pallets is a big part of your business, where you sell 10 to 20,000 per year.
Right. Well, at least that many. Yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm. That's pretty amazing.
Yeah. And that all started, as I started shipping more stuff out of town, I'd have to go around the neighborhood and scrounge up pallets to put under that. And then somebody called me. I think it was, it was a winery, and they said, do you sell pallets? And I kind of closed my eyes and thought a minute, and I said, yes, we do. Oh, yes. What are you looking for? And we went around the neighborhood and got pallets for that customer, and we were in the pallet business all of a sudden.
Yeah, that's amazing. I was wondering, what are your future goals for Earthworks and Urban Eden? Like, what kinds of plans do you have? Any plans to expand? Or
yes, I think everything we do here could be its own business. The freon removal, we do document destruction, where the paper gets recycled. We do electronics. All of those things we do at the recycling center, we can do them better and be more organized, or we kind of just, you know, it's like on all those crime shows where you follow the money, you know, wherever people are wanting things to expand, I'm perfectly willing to expand it in that direction.
Mm-hmm. And you mentioned at the farm, there's a bit of land that you're not currently using and that you could possibly grow another 10 to 15 acres.
Right. Yeah. We got lots of room for expansion. Well, there again, we need a few more fences around it to keep the deer out. I'm trying to figure out a way to build a fence with hospital IV stands in a row. Mm-hmm. And then I've got some old nets from an aquaculture operation that I'm trying to make a fence out of that. If I can get enough of those IV stands, I've got like 50 or 80, but I don't think that's enough of them yet.
That sounds like a very creative reuse.
Well, with deer, there's like a 54-inch rule where if you make it 50-some inches tall and you make it 50-some inches wide, it's a little bit hard for them to jump high enough and far enough. So that's the theory.
Oh, okay. Wow. That's good to know.
Yeah, or maybe I'll get in trouble for it being so ugly, you know? That's always a possibility.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so, and it sounds like a lot of what you might do in the future depends on what questions you get. Like if someone calls and asks, oh, do you do this? Then, you know, you might modify based on what kind of interest you have.
Right, right. We pick up hundreds and hundreds of refrigerators every year. And there again, 10 years ago, we probably hardly picked up any.
Mm-hmm. And are there any resources that you recommend or any advice that you recommend for anyone interested in starting a similar type of business or doing anything like that?
Well, let's see here. The farming's a hard one. You know, we've got some good restaurant customers, but some restaurant customers we've had in the past, they like to put your farm name on the menu, but they don't necessarily want to buy a lot of product. Mm-hmm. And so you got to watch out. You know, everyone's, you know, the markets maybe aren't as good as you think. And it's a lot of hard work. It's the farm we got a ways to go. Like this year, we put about $15,000 in on electrical work, upgrading circuitry that we had. But also, it's hard. It's hard not to like somebody that likes to eat vegetables. You know, have you ever met a grouchy person that liked to eat vegetables?
No. Yeah. So it sounds like one of your recommendations was to be flexible and resourceful, like being open to new ideas.
Right. And always, yeah, watch out for the unexpected. You might have to work harder than you think. I mean, I feel like I've been in another 10 years, I'll be an over success. So,
yeah. And so you've probably been the person who's been in the recycling business the longest in Spokane. So you're a great resource to go to for any kind of advice on starting a recycling business. And yeah, it's pretty amazing the stuff that you have going on.
Right. Well, you're right. I think one of my, a downfall is like my octopus has so many arms that sometimes I need to draw back, but I'm not really a rein things in kind of guy. We kind of just keep going and going. And then it's hard to find enough people to help you to do it that want to do it. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I've got some good help. And I mean, they're toughing out the winter every year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's good having all those arms because that, you know, when one isn't working out too well, then you can just do one of the other things. So.
Right. And that's kind of a rule of farming, too. You grow 10 different things so that if one or two fail or wither on the vine, you still got half of what you're doing is hopefully making money.
Yeah, that's great. Well, was there anything else you wanted to add?
Gosh, you know, if you want to see what we recycle, go to our website. You can call me. I probably answered the same questions. You know, what are your hours? Where are you at? Tens of thousands of times. I probably talked to 100,000 people in Spokane over the years.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. Well, I'm excited to check everything out, and I look forward to stopping by Earthworks sometime soon.
All right.
Thank you.
Yeah, become a double customer for the farm and Earthworks.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, well, thank you so much for joining us today. And we really appreciate the work that you're doing for the community and hope you take care.
All right, thanks, Gina.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to Talking Trash, a waste reduction podcast put on by the City of Spokane Solid Waste Department. For more information, go to our website at my.spokanecity.org.